Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of the Turner's Take Weekly Newsletter. Anyone can get my newsletter and also listen to the podcast. I'm a broker here at Daniels Trading. I work with broker-assisted clients. We have a fantastic online platform for your desktop and also for a phone or a tablet that we use. It's a hybrid category that a lot of our clients like, where you work with the broker and get the online technology. I service all categories. If you have any interest in that, please let me know. I work with hedgers and speculators in the futures and options markets. And for clients, if you want to see our spec ideas, I do have the Turner's Take Market Alert email. And for the hedging side, if you want to see our hedging ideas, you can go ahead and get Turner's Take Ag Marketing. That is for clients. And you can read more about me at turnerstake.com or turnerstakeag.com. So, it's been quite the week. Let's just dive right into it. Let's start with the Fed. We were all surprised. We thought we might hear a little bit more about interest rates and some hawkish things. And, there's an expectation of interest rates being raised by the end of the year. And the Fed basically came out and said they're probably not going to have interest rate hikes at the end of between now and the end of 2019. It's more likely that when we do get interest rate hikes again, it'll be Q1 of 2020, which means the Fed, while they say, we're still growing, the growth is slowing, and there are things there they need to be concerned about. Are we going to go into a tailspin? No. But I do think the Fed realizes that we do need help with growth, that growth has slowed, and it's really not their place now to either raise interest rates or do something that would tighten or be more hawkish. They'll probably be more dovish and loosen policy a little bit to allow the business cycle that we're in right now to kind of flesh out. And so hopefully we can see more growth in 2020. What was also interesting is, there has been, the Fed has been trying to unwind the balance sheet, a lot of mortgage-backed securities, and as those securities kind of roll off, they've just been letting it. They haven't been buying it back or, with treasuries, and it's been about $20 to $30 billion a month. So at one point, the Fed balance sheet was about $4.2 trillion in mortgage-backed securities and debt it had accumulated during the big crisis. And since they started letting that come down and unwind, I think it's been about $450 billion that's come off. So we're now at about $3.7 trillion. I think the Fed said they're going to stop that, stop letting the balance sheet unwind, kind of put that on hold. And then as the mortgage-backed securities basically come due, they'll probably just replace them with treasuries. And that's what it sounded like. So two things is going on here. One, we're not going to see the interest rate increase, and also the Fed is going to keep the balance sheet stable instead of letting it come off, which that will provide some liquidity and support also for the global market, for the United States market. Anyways, that is going to be seen as friendly. Now, what's interesting is, the market reacted negative to it and then positive and was trying to figure it out. It's probably positive because the Fed is now trying to do more pro-growth strategies. I think they realized they were wrong. A lot of the street and the analysts were saying, you're doing this at the wrong time. So did the president, right? But and it looks like they're doing a little bit of an about-face now on that. But what's concerning is that, now the you're saying, well, what is the Fed seeing? Is it that the Fed is seeing something that we don't? Or is it that the Fed was very much behind the eight ball while we had all these, with the markets coming down and the crash and the slow growth, and now they're kind of reacting, too little too late? Or you know, they're kind of lagging behind what's been really going on. I think that is more the likelihood. You know, the people in charge, you know, in policy and government, academia, it's usually the markets that see these things first, and the traders and the banks that see these things first, and then the market reacts, and then the Fed, you know, the market does the thing, and then the Fed has to react. And that's most likely what, I don't think someone, I was listening to someone today saying, hey, what is the, you know, what does the Fed know, you know, that we don't, and probably nothing. It's most likely that they're, like most big organizations, slow to move. I mean, probably this probably should have been done 6 months ago, and it wasn't. So that's where we are on the macro picture. What does it do? It should be supportive for, it's going to be bearish the dollar. And it should be supportive for commodities and gold in general. Not that commodities need a huge help right now, because there are some things going on to help the commodity markets. Though the bulls and us will take everything we can get. But we're going to spend the rest of the podcast talking about cattle, hogs, and the grain markets. So let's talk first about hogs. China has come in and bought a significant amount of pork from the United States, even with the tariffs. And we're starting to finally see the real effect of African swine fever and what it's, you know, basically what China has told us they've lost is probably on the smaller side of the estimates. And as they need pork, as they figure out what's going on with their herd and rebuilding, you know, their supplies, they're going to be buying from the United States. And we've had some real big run-ups. I think June hogs are now at 94. I mean, we were at 74 just a couple of weeks ago. We are up, you know, just this month, you know, $20. And we've had two limit up days in a row, 3 points yesterday and 4.5 points yesterday. We've actually been bull spread a little bit in June versus August from about 3.5, and we're at 4.5 now. And you would think that bulls, and by the way, that's -3.5 to -4.5, so we're down a point. We're down like $400 on that spread, which I got to tell you is really been kind of surprising. But, you know, the funds or the money or whatever it is, they're buying August, or maybe it's, you know, maybe some of the big commercials out there have basically sold a lot of product or contracted a lot of product to sell, and now they need to hedge that price risk before delivery, or it's fully priced and they're buying August. Whatever it may be, there is something. When you get these kind of moves, just these almost parabolic moves, and you know, we obviously have a massive, massive supply shock. What's gonna could happen here in the pork industry? Markets don't, you know, the option markets can get real. You get real crazy. I'm going to have to put you on hold for a second. All right, I am back. Just had to pick up a phone call there. But anyways, hogs. We're going to have bigger demand. China's going to be buying pork from us. And now we're up 20 to, basically up 20 in the June, August back months. Looks like the August is the month that everyone's buying. I don't know if that's the most short month out there, if that's where the funds are buying. I think it actually has a lot to do with commercial activity. We may hear about it's basically some sales, you know, from probably some pretty big producers in the United States making deals with China, probably for somewhere around the delivery time. And that just may be part of the natural hedge, selling the cash and buying the futures. As part of their operation, but something's definitely going on. Our June, we have been trading June, August again, like I was saying, from like 3.5. It's at 4.5 now, so we're down a point, which is strange. You would think that in a market, and we'll get to cattle on this too, you know, for feeders. You would think in a market where you're in a bull market, then the bull spreads from the front months would be working out, but it's the deferred months. So, which, you know, maybe, which you got to think maybe it's, yeah, the speculators and the funds could be buying the deferred months, but I almost think that's a commercial move. But we'll, you know, time will tell on that. We'll just have to see. But it is really been something. And also that bullishness in the hog market has been spilling over into cattle and also into some of the grain markets. Just between, you know, the Fed easing up has been good. The weather, the swine flu issues for China have been good for demand, and then also this flood, which we have a lot of clients out there and who are having a very difficult time here. And you know, our heart goes out to them. It is some very challenging conditions out there. You know, in Nebraska and Minnesota and other, you know, and in other parts where we're going to see there. And, you know, NOAA came out today with their new forecast, and it was wetter and colder, which is around 10 a.m. I think that came out. And that's when the corn market or the markets in general started to turn around. It looks like we've got going to have more, even more issues, or it's not going to dry up as fast as we think. So on cattle, on feeder cattle, you know, seasonally, April tends to go up against May, and we had liked that spread. And instead of it going up, it actually came down a couple of full points, which in a spread that usually trades in a $500 range ended up trading in a $1,500 range, counter-seasonally, which was really interesting because feeders have been going higher, but the May contract is the one that's going up. Why? Why is the, you know, in the hogs in the June August, even though hogs are going really through the roof right now, why are some of the bull spreads not acting correctly? It's very much a sign of money flow, what the commercials are doing, who's trapped and needs to get out. On smaller contracts, the funds can come in and push things around. If they all want to pile into May, then, or they're rolling from April to May, it'll distort spreads. So that's been really interesting to watch. And if you do like spread trading, you keep an eye on the spreads. It really can be, you can really learn some pretty good lessons and see some very interesting price action when the markets get like this. What it does tell you is that there's a huge unknown. Like when you see the spreads act the way they do, where the money flow and the positioning creates more of disparity than actually having the bull spreads follow the bull market, usually tells you that no one knows what's going on. No one knows what's lost. What's the impact going to be? So the May contract, I don't know if that's the one everyone's been short, or that's what the hedgers have been using, if that's what the commercials have been using, or if the funds are piling in. But it is a majority of it's going into feeders there in that month. The open interest on cattle, feeders and live cattle, is really, really quite something. Same thing with the hog market. We are seeing a lot of open interest being built in these markets. Not great for when people have to get out, but for now, it's still bullish. Feeders, if we can keep on getting flooding here, what would most likely happen is more cattle, live cattle, would probably be brought to market earlier, which we actually kind of have some kind of a downward price pressure. But on the feeder market, because those are replacement animals and they're in the lots and people are looking to buy them now, that would probably have more of a bullish deal. Now, when grain prices increase, in theory, the cattle market should come down because the cost of feeding them is going up. But, you know, when you get a natural disaster like this, sometimes all those rules can kind of go right out the window. I'm actually going to, man, my phone's just blown up today. I'll be right. All right, I am back. And again, you know, when the markets get like this, you can kind of throw things right out the window of what you'd normally expect. So you'll see a lot of traders just move to the sidelines. Sometimes you'll see traders just completely just follow the momentum. We have not had a blow off yet. A blow off top will usually be a spike into the market and then closing lower. We have not seen that. So you would think the first one has the biggest candidate for it would be the hog market. The cattle seems to be going up orderly, but we'll just have to see. You know, we're not going gangbusters here, but I would keep an eye on that May feeder cattle. The one that's really, really taken off here is the lean hog market. And, you know, the China came in and bought a huge, sizable amount of pork, which really kind of blew people away. And it just goes to show how bad things are there right now. And that's also kind of helping fuel the fire. So April cattle now, fats are above 130. The March feeders are about 154. Those are some pretty high prices. And we're going to have to keep an eye on the weather. There, you know, how much did we lose you know, on both the feeder and the fat side. But that's going to be very interesting. If you are a producer out there, we're probably going higher for a while, but at some point, you either got to make sales or hedge it at some point, because when the party is over, it will come down pretty fast. I mean, when you see, especially compared to how long the funds are, there's no, as Andy Daniels used to say, you know, trading is not a team sport. No one lets everyone out orderly. You know, there's no one out there, you know, getting out, "Oh no, after you, please get out of your trade." You know, it is everyone who goes straight to the exits. So, we're not there yet, but just keep that in mind. All right, finally, we're going to go talk about the grain markets. The flooding is definitely going to affect the grain markets, and it's probably going to be corn the most. I cannot see 92 million acres of corn. I really can't. I got to go through, I'm going through my tables now. I do, you know, if you've ever seen me present, or you've read my newsletters, or you've seen me on any webinars, I will go through my supply and demand tables, and I've held up on updating them over the past couple weeks because of the acreage. You know, we had already thought 92 was too high for corn, all right, before the flooding. Now that we have the flooding conditions we do, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if we go back to 90 corn, 86, 87 beans, but you can also see a lot of prevent plant too. If you've seen some of these pictures out there, not only can we just get delays, but we may just straight up lose a lot of acres this year. That's all around. You consider the funds were short over 250,000 contracts as of Friday. That was record, definitely record for this time of year. And them selling 200,000 contracts and plus, and we only went down 20 cents in these, you know, in the corn market, is something else today to say also. So corn has some potential here. I would say for December, we almost got to $4 today. I would think as the weather stays the same, as the funds come out, we get some more bullish news, maybe in the export side. I would think these makes, it can, if you look at a chart, it could certainly test that 403, 404, 405 area again. I mean, I'm just looking at the chart here. That is, you know, where we're going, how short the market is, the weather issues we're having. I would not be surprised on that. And for as far as May goes, you know, May could pop up to the high 380s, low 390s on a very big short covering rally too. Where we really, and then July has the potential to test $4, just based on what's going on out there right now. So I'm gonna go through my tables. I'm gonna start doing some different scenarios again for not only the acreage but also probably lower yield too. We already had, we didn't get nearly what we need to get into the fall, and now we're definitely not gonna get everything on time. So even the acres that get planted are gonna be late or just not enough done in the field, most likely. I know it's still early, but I mean, it's a mess out there. Soybeans need a trade deal badly. And even with the trade deal, we're still going to have a large crop, and it's going to take a full cycle to get things done. That's why to get the balance sheet down, another full year to really get the balance sheet down where we're going to have $10 beans again. What's going to be interesting here is just to see how many beans soybeans buys, it'll put a dent in the U.S. Ending stocks, but it won't affect the global ending stocks. And then what do acres stand like around the world this year and next year? So that'll be a major factor. And we're going to go through some different scenarios too. I think right now you probably have spring lows in for corn. For soybeans, I can see us testing 880 again in the front months if things don't go with China. I know we're going to be getting back to the negotiations again, and that hopefully will create some bullish news. If it does, you know, soybeans can run up 20 or 30 cents. Corn can run up maybe even more for soybeans, because if corn goes up 20 or, you know, goes up 10, 15, 20 cents just on this flooding alone. And there were, I don't like to spread rumors, but there were rumors today of China taking a sniff for U.S. corn. Now, there is nothing reported. There is, you know, none of the cash buyers we know or people on that side of the business said it. It was just going around the trade room and Twitter and, you know, just kind of hearing through the grapevine again. So there is a lot of stuff. And if that does come true, if China all of a sudden starts to buy 8 or 10 million metric tons of corn, then yeah, I mean, it's going to be positive for the corn markets here, which is amazing. I mean, I don't remember if it was that commodity classic. It was just, you know, May corn was, you know, testing 360. We were down 30 cents. The funds were, you know, 30 cents in a month. The funds were just getting into an epic short position. And here we are. We've retraced halfway. These corn is almost back up to $4. And, yeah, they have to start coming out of this thing because of reduced acres, China buying, and flooding. You know, we could have a ways to go here. So I'll be writing more about that too. I still like the straddles, by the way, for the farmers out there. I still like our short straddles. I've been saying this for a while. Even there's going to be lows, there's going to be highs, but you know, unless we get a real disaster, you know, harvest low or 350, harvest high, you know, spring to summer high in the, you know, mid, you know, low to mid fours is probably where corn's going to be this year. Again, unless something just completely act of God or severe drought or, you know, eventually, you would think eventually we would get a lot of acres in, but who knows, maybe this flood is, you know, what keeps us above four eventually, across all the months. Either way, I still like the straddles, because I just don't think we're going to, you know, $5 or anything like that. Let's see and wheat. And wheat's caught a bid after all this, too. So that's, you know, wheat is now up 40 cents from the lows after just the funds again just completely selling it. So I'd say the spread, I think you could probably say the spring lows are in. I can't see the funds really selling wheat back down all the way to 420, 425. If they do, it'd be very, very bearish. And the thing is with wheat, we still have a billion bushels on record, you know, in storage. So I don't think there's a ton of upside for wheat, you know, maybe a little bit more, 20, 30 cents. But we can also come down 20 or 30 cents. And wheat looks to be more like a range-bound market now, also. So that is where we are. For farmers out there, if a Chinese deal gets done, whatever rally comes from that, I think we do have to market. And whether it be on the board with futures or buying puts to protect yourselves or maybe buying cheap calls now than to sell the cash into on that rally is going to make sense, because every time I do the math on that, we're still going to have a lot of beans in the United States, and the world carryout stocks don't change. Corn looks to be the best position to go higher here. It's probably the bullish of the three. And wheat still has a billion carryout. And what will be wheat's saving grace if it happens is if China agrees to buy some wheat from the United States, which I gotta tell you, would not be shocked at this point, even if it's more of like a one-time deal. One, it's a drop in the bucket to them, but two, they're gonna need a lot of feed, and they probably prefer to feed corn. But if the United States has more feed wheat than they know what to do with, maybe that is a way to basically, for the United States to help bring down the stocks in the wheat market, and China to get wheat for feed. Because they're gonna need a ton of feed. China's gonna need a ton of feed to eventually get their hog production back up. So, wouldn't be shocked if that's being talked about too. So, hopefully, we have rosier days ahead. We do need to use these rallies though. So, no problem being long now, but at some point, it's got to be a marketing opportunity. And for the spec traders out there, you know this movement isn't gonna last forever either. But So we will we'll be talking about that too. So hope everyone has a great rest of the week. I know this podcast was a little bit longer than normal. I had some interruptions there, but I will also be out of town next week. I will be available by email and by my cell phone, and I will be checking in, and I'll be writing a couple of newsletters throughout the week. I'll probably even do a podcast too. But my kids' spring break is the end of March, which is pretty common for the Chicago suburbs. I live about 20 to 30 miles outside of Chicago in the next county over, and all the public schools pretty much have spring break in that last week of March. So we are going to visit my in-laws. They are down in Florida, and they usually reside in Memphis, but they're in Florida right now. We're going to go and hang out with them, and I will be working on Friday. That is the planting intentions. I'm thinking corn's going to be lower, beans are going to be higher than the ag form was. We'll have to see what they say. There's also time, you know, just because the planting intentions now may come out with one number doesn't mean that's the way it's going to stay between now and May when the final number comes out. But I'm expecting lower corn, 90 to 91 on the planting intentions. Could even go lower based on what's going on in the Midwest, and then soybeans to be like 85 or something like that. It's going to be, I think, the most interesting part of the planting intentions coming up is, do we get a look into the window of prevent plant, you know, increasing? And will that show up in that report? So again, I will be in, I'll be in Florida next week. It is my, I have three kids in the elementary schools here, and, we will be off next week, but I will be available by email. I will be available by my cell phone. I will be working on Friday during the report. I'll have my phone forwarded from the desk down to the house in Florida, and I'll be writing newsletters and putting out podcasts as probably either early in the morning or late at night when everyone else is asleep. So have a great week, and I will talk to you soon. Again, if you ever want to contact me, you can always reply to any of my emails, and all my contact information is in the show notes. Have a great day, everyone, and I will talk to you.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors, such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.